Hagrid! Open up! We want to talk to you! There was no sound from within. If you don't open the door, we'll blast it open, Harry said, pulling out his wand.
Harry, said Hermione, sounding shocked. You can't possibly.
Yeah, I can, said Harry. Stand back. But before he could say anything else, the door flew open again as Harry had known it would, and there stood Hagrid, glowering down at him and looking, despite the flowery apron, positively alarming.
I'm a teacher, he roared at Harry. A teacher, Potter! How dare you threaten to break down my door?
I'm sorry, sir, said Harry, emphasizing the last word as he stowed his wand inside his robes. Hagrid looked stunned.
Since when have you called me sir?
Since when have you called me Potter?
Oh, very clever, growled Hagrid. Very amusing. That's me outsmarted, isn't it? All right, come in then, you ungrateful little.
Mumbling darkly, he stood back to let them pass. Hermione scurried in after Harry, looking rather frightened.
Well,
said Hagrid grumpily, as Harry, Ron, and Hermione sat down around his enormous wooden table, Fang laying his head immediately upon Harry's knee and drooling all over his robes.
What's this? Feeling sorry for me? Reckon I'm lonely or summat?
No, said Harry at once. We wanted to see you.
We've missed you, said Hermione tremulously.
Missed me, have you? Snorted Hagrid. Yeah, right.
He stumped around, brewing up tea in his enormous copper kettle, muttering all the while. Finally, he slammed down three bucket-sized mugs of mahogany brown tea in front of them and a plate of his rock cakes. Harry was hungry enough even for Hagrid's cooking and took one at once.
Hagrid,
said Hermione timidly, when he joined them at the table and started peeling his potatoes with a brutality that suggested that each tuber had done him a great personal wrong.
We really wanted to carry on with Care of Magical Creatures, you know.
Hagrid gave another great snort. Harry rather thought some bogies had landed on the potatoes and was inwardly thankful that they were not staying for dinner.
We did, said Hermione, but none of us could fit it into our schedules.
Yeah, right, said Hagrid again.
There was a funny squelching sound and they all looked around. Hermione let out a tiny shriek, and Ron leapt out of his seat and hurried around the table away from the large barrel standing in the corner that they had only just noticed. It was full of what looked like foot-long maggots, slimy, white, and writhing.
What are they,
Hagrid? Asked Harry, trying to sound interested rather than revolted, but putting down his rock cake all the same.
Just giant grubs, said Hagrid.
And they grow into... said Ron, looking apprehensive.
They won't grow into nothing, said Hagrid. I got them to feed to Aragog.
And without warning, he burst into tears.
Hagrid,
cried Hermione, leaping up, hurrying around the table the long way to avoid the barrel of maggots and putting an arm around his shaking shoulders.
What is it?
It's him, gulped Hagrid,
his beetle black eyes streaming as he mopped his face with his apron.
It's Aragog. I think he's dying. He got ill over the summer, and he's not getting better. I don't know what I'll do if he... We've been together so long.
Hermione patted Hagrid's shoulder, looking at a complete loss for anything to say. Harry knew how she felt. He had known Hagrid to present a vicious baby dragon with a teddy bear, seen him croon over giant scorpions with suckers and stingers, attempt to reason with his brutal giant of a half-brother. But this was perhaps the most incomprehensible of all his monster fancies, the gigantic talking spider Aragog, who dwelled deep in the Forbidden Forest, and which he and Ron had only narrowly escaped 4 years previously.
Is there anything we can do?
Hermione asked, ignoring Ron's frantic grimaces and head shakings.
I don't think there is, Hermione,
choked Hagrid, attempting to stem the flood of his tears.
See, the rest of the tribe, Aragog's family, they're getting a bit funny now he's ill. A bit restive.
Yeah, I think we saw a bit of that side of them, said Ron in an undertone.
I don't reckon it'd be safe for anyone but me to go near the colony at the Mo.
Hagrid finished, blowing his nose hard on his apron and looking up.
But thanks for offering, Hermione. It means a lot.
After that, the atmosphere lightened considerably, for although neither Harry nor Ron had shown any inclination to go and feed giant grubs to a murderous gargantuan spider, Hagrid seemed to take it for granted that they would have liked to have done, and became his usual self once more.
I always knew you'd find it hard to squeeze me into your timetables, he said gruffly, pouring them more tea, even if you applied for time-turners.
We couldn't have done, said Hermione. We smashed the entire stock of Ministry time-turners when we were there last summer. It was in the Daily Prophet.
Well then, said Hagrid. There's no way you could have done it. I'm sorry I've been, you know, I've just been worried about Aragog. And I did wonder whether, if Professor Grubbly Plank had been teaching you.
At which all three of them stated categorically and untruthfully that Professor Grubbly Plank, who had substituted for Hagrid a few times, was a dreadful teacher, with the result that by the time Hagrid waved them off the premises at dusk, he looked quite cheerful.
I'm starving, said Harry, once the door had closed behind them and they were hurrying through the dark and deserted grounds. He had abandoned the rock cake after an ominous cracking noise from one of his back teeth. And I've got that detention with Snape tonight. I haven't got much time for dinner.